Just a little background. We did talk about a couple of things. We talked about Ona. I did look into it a little bit more. Martin actually gave it over pretty well. A couple of points, though. One, so just in general, we talked about Ona. Its definition is technically a machlekes in the Gemara between Rav and Shmuel. The simple way to express it is the version of Rav, which basically is that if you charge a difference of a sixth of the true value of the price, the market price. So, for example, you overcharge a sixth or more, then there's going to be an issue of price fraud.
16%.
Something like 16.6. Yeah.
That's low margins, you know.
That's over.
So you actually do it. The truth
margin,
is,
that's what we said yesterday.
The truth is, you do need to know exactly
your normal margin.
What's your normal margin?
Whatever it is, whatever.
Wait, yeah, the margins included in the price. So
yeah.
It's the market price, the value, not the real price of what you're buying at the, you know, first stage of
the
supply chain.
It's
the retail price, the market price.
16% over the retail price.
Okay, so
I mean, it's a whole discussion.
That's set by the other
competitors. The simple. This is certainly the more straightforward.
Everybody sold a laptop for $100.
So
everybody.
Yeah, but they're all over the map. And
so there are issues with
the same ones that aren't.
So we talked about yesterday. It is sometimes difficult to figure out
what a fixed price is.
It's sometimes difficult to figure out what a fixed price is.
I know what the feeling is like because I do it mostly.
However, there are occasions where you could just as well speak an example. For example, if I'm in all Nissan dealerships sell a certain car for a relative approximately certain price. You know, the company sets the price of this car. So a particular dealership, you're selling for more than 16.66%. You can demand a what we call bitum mekach, that this it was never a good sale, like a refund,
you just
a rebate,
make
the whole thing void. If it's exactly 20%, you just return the money,
16.
The extra 16.66%, yeah. Which is a sixth. So that's a general background info. Now you'll get to it when it's Perek Yud Beis and Perek Yud Gimel. Perek Yud Beis seems to introduce it all. So I don't want to give you too much of it right now, but a couple of other backgrounds just to clarify what we did bring up yesterday. There was a point made about whether a private sale is something where Ona needs to be concerned about. So a private seller, like a balabais, as you would say, homeowner, a non-professional, is actually subject to the din of Ona. Certainly that's what it looks like in the Gemara.
Because that was questioned yesterday.
However, the important point, Martin did make a very much correct point, which is that generally speaking, when a house owner is selling something that he wouldn't otherwise be selling, so for example, he's selling precious jewelry or something that's dear to him, even can be extended to his like the utensils that he would use around the house, something that we would generally assume he wouldn't be selling, then there is a din of, there is no din of Ona there because we assume that he will be overcharging, generally speaking, because of the dearness to him. So in other words,
more because of the nature of what he's selling as opposed to
it is
selling.
Exactly. So the Gemara does bring a case where they're trying to attack the approach where that a house owner doesn't have to pay Ona, and they bring a case of like a pile of hemp. Basically something that would be
and
more of a...
He's selling strawberries from his backyard or something, that he's subject to the same...
Yeah, so for this example, exactly. So something that's more of a merchant-type object, this pile of hemp, as an example, that would be subject to an Ona. So exactly like strawberries as well, then that would be an Ona. If it's deer, then definitely not. Included in the deerness is the utensils that he might use around his house. Presumably ones that would be deer would definitely apply. Ones that wouldn't be, unless they might be included in a more broad law, just so that the rabbis don't divide to make the cases overly complicated. Okay, so just those are some clarification points on Ona. So we'll go on. Okay, so we are in chapter 2 in Hilchos Mechira. We're going to continue from Halacha Daled. We did review Halacha Gimel. We just finished it up yesterday. We talked about a special type of Mashiach you need to do with an Eved, a servant / slave. Where you really have to do sort of overpowering movement, it seems like a push before you pull. And there's a halakha and halakha dalad we're talking about. What if the person is young? So he was on the slave market, or he was already made a slave by some non-Jew or whoever it was, or maybe from another Jew. And it turns out that this kid you want to acquire. So what you have to do is as follows. I'll read it to you, but I'm going to give you a little background because it sounds bad when you first read it, if you just translate it so you see the full sentence.
So you're trying to acquire this child as a slave?
Yes. Okay. So,
Jewish child.
Non-Jewish child.
Non-Jewish.
Now, it sounds bad, and as much as it said, it's like, you can say it's like an animal. Don't mean it's like an animal, literally. It just means that the ways that you could acquire an animal, you can also acquire a child slave. Now, the reason that's important is that because an adult slave, you have to overpower first before you pull him towards you. By a child, you don't have to push him away. You don't have to do this overpowering move first. Okay, so read the halakha inside. Eved katan hari hu kebehema, v'koinin osa b'davarim shekoinin behen habehemos. U b'davarim shekoinin behen havanim. So a child slave is treated in terms of kinyanim like an animal and therefore can be acquired in addition to the ways that a regular eved can be acquired, also to the ways an animal can be acquired, which means through a regular mashicha.
Because a child doesn't have free will similar to the animal, is that different from an adult? Or it's just strength?
Yeah, it could. The truth is what you said is likely part of it. The Rambam is really just trying to bring up one particular point, which is what I was articulating. Lefikach nikne b'mashicha afal pi shalo taklu. So the Rambam seems to be just making the point that you don't have to push him around. But in terms of the literal application of what he's saying, svar for maybe how you could justify it, we'll learn soon that by an animal you can call to it if it comes, assuming that it's in front of the owner or whatnot, you can gain it. And it would seem because it's not a bar, but also maybe a child as well, arguably, I'm not sure. But you could make that argument. Okay, so I already missed our background on our Nah, but maybe if we have time later.
You want to sell strawberries from your backyard, you can't charge more than 16% either. Don't try that at home.
We went over some of the issues that we were discussing today.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, later maybe if you ask, we can update you. Okay, halacha hey, habehema bin daka bin gasa niknis b'mashicha. Okay, an animal, whether it's thin or large, small or large, translating to keep it simple, daka small, gasa large, whatever the size, you can acquire it with mashicha. Okay, it's an argument in the Gemara, so the Rambam's paskening. Whatever type of animal is, you can do it with, you can acquire it with pulling. Now, afal pi shal efshar lahagbia oisa, and even though you can acquire it through lifting, which generally speaking seems to be a preferred way of acquisition, lo hitzrichuhu lahagbia mipnei shemis chavetes ba'aretz. The Rambam's posing that although hagbah, lifting, is typically a preferred way to acquire a movable, because by an animal, when you put it back on the ground, if for some reason it falls out, you know, maybe it's squirming, whatever it is, it can hurt. The blow of the earth when it falls might hurt the animal. So he says, therefore, you're not obligated to do the so generally preferred version, which is hagba. You can even do mashiach, you don't have to lift. V'im hagbia kana. Nonetheless, if you do lift it, you can acquire it. Now, just to give some examples, the Miri speaks out, larger animals are classified such as cattle, horses, donkeys, mules. Smaller animals are sheep and goats. Obviously, an elephant would be a large animal. Now, you can ask, how do you hagbah an elephant? So, one way to do it, there are different ways to acquire hagbah. What you do is you could pile up something. The Gemara brings something like twigs. You might make a pile, like a fairly large pile of twigs. It has to be more than 3 tefachim off the ground. Generally speaking, we look at that as about approximately 3 inches, sometimes a little larger just to be safe. There's a principle of something called lavud. Now, lavud, as it were, is one of these halakha mishnayos, and basically, if something's close to the ground, we look at it as though it's actually connected to the ground. So there are various circus. So there are various applications of it. In other words, if you're not lifting it more than 3 tefachim off the ground, it's as though you didn't lift it off the ground, so that you didn't lift it. So you just need to make the pile a little higher than 3 tefachim. Therefore, once you get the elephant, when you make the elephant go on it, it's as though you lifted it. Because that'd be just an interesting
just
point.
One leg, like just...
It looks like you put... My impression would be that you put the whole elephant on it, but because you're lifting the whole elephant, I think, in this case.
Yeah,
you're making basically a platform more than 3.
Is a mashicha, is that pushing or pulling or both?
Mashicha's pulling. What you did see in Halakha Gimel, a certain type of mashicha for an adult slave. In that case, because it's a slave, you generally speaking, you're demonstrating that you're acquiring him as a slave, so there's an action of treating him like a slave in the acquisition. So you push him, the takva, what we're translating takva, like overpowering, and then you pull him. So it's a special type of mashicha. Only we've only applied that to it to an adult slave. Generally speaking, mashicha is pulling, drawing near Mashiach. Pulling. Okay, so we're going to continue here. Now, v'hagbah, koinin ba mikol makom. One thing about hagbah, which is convenient, is that you can use it in any place, whether it's Rishon Rabim, Rishon Yachid, whether it's your place, his place, a public place. You can do it. If you lift it, it's yours. It's more personal in that sense. And it's a bit simpler. Aval Mashiach, there is something that you have to be careful about with Mashiach. In other words, where are you doing it? So Rambam is paskening, in koinin ba, el besimta, o bechatzir shel shnehem. Okay, simta is one place where if you do Mashiach, it'll acquire from the seller to the buyer. A simta, generally spoken out, is a sort of a corner of a rishus harabim. And more generally, it's a sort of an area within, otherwise in the rishus harabim, which is designated for private use, use of individuals. So if you do Mashiach in that area, it works. That's one option. The only other option the Rambam's bringing is bechatzir shel shnehem, a chatzir that's owned by both of them. V'ein koinin ba b'rishis harabim, excluding a public domain, v'lo b'chatzir she'ina shel shnehem. And it sounds like even a chatzir that doesn't belong to both of them. Now, halacha vav.
Sorry, I don't really understand the logic. Why does it matter if it's in a public domain, not in a public domain? Is it people witness it or don't witness
it? So it seems that there has to be some sort of basis for pulling it into your own rishis. In other words, Mashiach, part of the basis of it is you're pulling it not just towards you, so at least but it's into your domain. So halacha vav kitzad koinin habehim of Mashiach. A little more detail about how you can acquire Mashiach, and this will hit what you're saying, Paul. Ein tzarich lomer. You don't need to say this part's obvious. Im mashcha v'halcha, if you pull it and it comes with you, that's a good Mashiach. Oh, shiracha v'aleya v'halcha, or you ride it as a horse, whatever, you ride on it and it goes, starts going because you ride on it. But shikana, that acquires. Ela filu kara lo, even if you call to it, uba, and it comes, that works here. Where we saw that didn't work in the case, for example, by an adult slave. O shikha, sorry, hechisha b'maka. You hit it with a stick. V'ratzan, it runs. The fun of, before him. That would also work. Kevan sha'akar yad v'regel kaniya. This is not hagbah, but by Mashiach, as soon as it lists 4 foot, it's yad, presumably it's 4 foot, and it's regel, it's hind leg, so in other words, it's moving towards you, then it's considered that that's enough of a Mashiach.
Are you pulling it, or it just moves towards you?
So you don't have to literally physically pull it, is a chiddush here by the animal. It's moving towards you, but you could even do it through calling, for example.
And it doesn't actually have to physically move from its spot, it just lifts.
It's to lift the front and back.
Yeah. So the animal does this on its own.
Well,
that's a demonstration that
it's responding to you.
You called it, or you made it move, you triggered it's moving. In the case that you hit it, it has to run. So in that case,
So the other ones, you have to hit it, it causes it to do something. But then it just says, did you hit it and it lifted what? Or did you, it just lifted it?
So the only one that that seems to exclude to me, truth be told, generally, I'm not sure how you would interpret it. By ratzasa, that seems like it's running. To me, it sounds like, you know, it has to go into a run. So maybe retroactively, I acquired it because it lifted, at the point it lifted its foot and hind leg. But the truth is, if it didn't run, it would contradict the halacha that as it's expressed.
Oh, they have to do this pulling anyways before.
Well, that the other condition, of course, is all kinyanim, generally speaking, v'hu sheyimshuch b'fnei habaylim. You're doing this kinyan, just like we saw by Chazaka and the other in by a karka. You're doing it in front of the original owner. Avol imashach shelo b'fnei habaylim. But if you don't do it from the owner, you need permission. So tzarik sheyomar lo, the owner, the initial owner, had to have told you. Before you pulled it, leich go mishuch v'kana, pull and acquire. Doing with his permission if he's not there. Halacha zayin, hamoicher eder lechaviro, o shenasna lo b'tana. Someone who acquires a flock, or whether it's through a purchase or through a gift, kevan shemaser lo mishuchichis. That's a special word. Rambam defines it. But the sentence will be as follows. Since the seller transfers this particular animal, and what's the definition of this animal? V'hi Habehima Hamalachis Berosha Eder. Basically, the lead animal in the flock.
Leader of the pack.
The leader of the pack, as they say. And what does that mean to be a leader of the pack? V'kol nimshachim. All the animals in the pack, in the flock, nimshachim, they're pulled, as it were. They're drawn after this leader. After. So ein sarich lomar, and this is a chiddush here, and we saw this parallel by the key. When I give a key to acquire karka, no longer do I need verbal permission if he's not there. It's assumed that when he's giving me this key, that he's giving me permission. It's like he said it, so too here, that he gave me permission to go and acquire lech v'chazaka, mika chazaka, or in this case, tu mishicha. So ein sarich lomar lo lech mashuch. You don't have to say go and pull and acquire. Shemesiras behema zu kamisha amar lo lech mashuk v'kana. If you give this animal as leader, it's like you said, go and acquire it. V'kivin shemeshech ha'eder kanahu afa pi shemeshech shalo b'fanav. In this case, you're going to acquire it once you do the pulling, even though it's on front and not in front of him. Now, it sounds like you have to do a pulling on each and every one of the animals in the pack, but you don't have to do that in front of the owner. Okay, halacha ches. Ha'emer lechaviro mashuch v'tikne. So, Reuven selling to Shimon. Reuven says to Shimon, go ahead, pull, do a meshicha, an act of acquisition, and you will acquire it. Note, it's a future tense. Ochazak v'tikne. Or do some sort of active proprietary ownership, and you will acquire it. Kiyotzi b'davarim. Similar things. You're using future tense. Do you go make a kinyan, and in the future you will acquire it?
Doesn't that mean as soon as you do that action?
No, it doesn't.
The words, it sounds like.
In English, yeah, maybe a bit more. But yeah, there's a nuance. It seems that you'll see, obviously, present tense. So you'd have to be careful if you really want to be sure you're getting it. Elu v'ha, so b'divar me'elu v'halach u'mashach, if the buyer goes ahead and pulls, or he makes a proprietary act of ownership, lo kana, doesn't work. Shemashma, because the implication of the words tikna, you will in the future tense acquire, lehavo, it's for the future. Va'dayan lo hiknelo, and so you never, when exactly, when it's unspecified, it's in the future, when exactly did he want the Kenyan to occur? And perhaps the reason, again, is we talked about it being somichtas. We want to be very clear that the person giving up the ownership was really resolved to do it. So if he's saying you will, you know, well, when did you intend for this to happen? So
if we say you will,
I mean, maybe you will acquire it immediately. If you say that, then you're taking the question out.
But if he says you will acquire it,
it's ambiguous and somehow future. It implies future tense.
In due course,
my friend, you will acquire it.
English is
still
the same.
It sounds like you should say immediately if you want to be sure. You will have acquired it. Then that's past tense, right? So you can use will in both, but you will acquire it.
As long as
it's saying, really, Rambam uses the word mashma, which is implication. He's acknowledging that it's implying.
Money change hands.
That's what the question like. We spoke generally that money
was given out first, and then you do the formula.
Money change hands. You say the person, if you pull it, you will acquire it. But after that, you actually don't own it yet.
It sounds like when there's an implication that you didn't give permission to do it until a future time.
Obviously, be careful. The opposite. Money hasn't changed hands.
No.
So therefore,
we saw an example at least of where money had changed hands.
Means you have no obligation to pay that money yet. You have acquired it. Now you have it loaned.
So you know the truth is that generally speaking, I'm right, metal tzlin is the obligation to give money is only after the kinyan. So I hear that.
I would logically
agree with you. I can't deny that. I just remember we saw an example recently where the money had changed hands.
Yeah, that's what we said.
And then
was that with a non-Jew? I'm pretty sure that was with a non-Jew.
Okay, truth be told, if I had to if I had to guess right now, I would actually say what you're saying, Shelly, just because generally speaking, that's how a Metathian works. For sure. I'll try to look into it. You know, take a second when you look at that. I don't know. It may take a while. Okay, halacha. Halacha ches. Are we halacha ches? Halacha ches.
That's what I'm thinking. It was probably wasn't yesterday, if you remember.
No. I was out. So, okay. Anyways, let's just think this through for 1 second. By metathlin, usually how it works is that there is, if I give money, we can both retract. Once I've done a kinyan, then you cannot retract. The thing is that the Rambam is basically posking that although this looks like a kinyan, sounds like a kinyan, it's not considered a kinyan. So even if money was given, the truth is, you could, if money's given, all that you can retract anyways. Now there's a, we call it the Mishapara, this is not, it's not a good thing. The rabbi is in a way cursing you, or at least warning you that you're stepping into dangerous territory once money's paid. However, there, in terms of the fact that there's no kinyan, there's no, once money is given, there's still no kinyan. So even adding on, even saying will after money was given, the Rambam does seem to be saying, even in the case that Paul's saying, that there still wouldn't be an official kinyan here. So I wouldn't, it doesn't sound like it would be only the case that you're saying, Shelley. But you are right, generally speaking, that you're only obligated, really obligated to give the money once the kinyan was done. Okay, halacha ches. Ha'oimer lechaviro, mashuch v'takana. Oh, I just read this, didn't I? Okay, let's see. Where do we finish this yet? We did not finish. Elatzari chamochir o hanoisin. Rather, the seller or giver has to give a different speech. So, lomar lo, mashuch v'kan. He has to say in present tense, or when you pull, you will have acquired. Pull, and you'll acquire, and you acquire. In English, it is tough, but make sure if you really want to make sure you're right, because again, Rambam does say mashma. You want to eliminate implications that it was a future tense
pull
permission.
As a result of your pulling, you will acquire.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be the best way to say it. Oh, chazak v'kana, or go do a proprietary act of ownership, and you'll have acquired it. Ukiyutu b'devarim elu shemashman. Again, use a phrase that has that implies sheyitne ata, that you're acquiring it now. So you could say, pull and you will have immediately acquired, or you will immediately acquire it. Take out the implication of that you didn't immediately acquire it. But at the time that you did this act of kinyan, whether it's pulling or doing a chazaka. Okay, halacha tes is a continuation of this. Now we remember halacha ches, we said doesn't work when you say future tense, in as much as there was no specification to when the future date was. Let's see. Let's keep that in mind when we look through a lacha test. Ha'ayim lechavira mashuch para zu velo tikna. If someone says to a fellow, pull the cow, this cow, and you won't, you velo tikna ella la'acher shloshim yom, and you won't acquire it until after 30 days. So here again, it's future tense. Nothing's happening now. But the future tense is specific. So do we get close enough that the Rambam will say it's allowed? So mashach, the fellow pulls it, the buyer pulls it. Lo kana, not yet. It is not considered a good kinyan yet. Even though it's future tense and it was specified when, it's not yet good. And so possibly logically why is because maybe somehow he holds that something will happen within 30 days.
After 30 days, does he automatically acquire it?
In this case, he doesn't. It sounds like the reason is, again, we want some, I am speculating here, but he has to be some, he says, no, he says, lokana. Right? He says, right? He says, okay.
Doesn't acquire it at all.
We'll see when we continue. But the point, I just want to give one little help with the logical process here. It was that, again, maybe the seller thinks within 30 days he won't have a need for this animal anymore. He's not, and then something happens where really he still needs it. Again,
he wants to be able to back out too.
Well, no, but he's not really resolving to do it because he was resolving on condition in his mind that, you know, he would not need the animal within 30 days. There's a lack of really possibly resolving here. Okay, one approach to why it wouldn't work, even though he specified. Continuing, v'im amar lo kanami akshav. Shelly, here's the key. This is how you know what works. If the seller says to the buyer, kanami akshav, you pull and acquire it now. But here is a little difference. Will acher shloshim yom kana? but it won't be finalized until after 30 days. Vafilu haisa umenes ba'agam b'yom shloshim. It works. Okay? Even though it's not, remember, it's not in one of the domains, it's not in the simta, in this part of the public domain, which was given over to a private use, or in the kachatze that belongs to both of them. It's in a swamp. It's a non-existent land. Like, it's not in the proper place we can do mashiach. Nonetheless, since it was initialized properly, it's not finalized until 30 days, that works. Okay? Yes, so you have mi'aksha, mi'ata. So in that case, we're so mechtas and we say it works. Let's finish this halacha. It seems like we're getting to the time. Shezeh kemi shehikne miata al tanai. This is as though someone acquired it now, simply on condition. So nasa tanai niskaim akinyan. And when the tanai is completed, the acquisition is finalized. V'kol emir al menas kamoicher miakshav. And so basically, it sounds, make a tanai. And Martin, you can help me without this, but it sounds like he's. If I had to guess, the more logical interpretation would be to make sure if you make it tanai, make sure that it had a me'akshav condition. Mm-hmm. So if you, as long as you're selling it on tanai, you're acquiring it from now, and then when the tanai is finalized, whatever the condition is, then the sale will be finalized. That works, but you have to have the condition that you acquired it from now if the tanai actually works. Yeah.
Why can't you just say, do this and you will acquire it in 30 days?
Do this and you will acquire it in 30 days. So we talked about that. I don't know if you like the interpretation, but I'll just try it one more time. Tell me later if it's not good. Is that, again, we're all about being so mechtas. We need complete resolve in the heart of the seller. And therefore, it could be a situation where the seller says, look, he says to himself, I don't need this animal. This cow is great. I don't need him in 30 days, I'm selling the farm, whatever his plan was.
Right.
Okay? Day 29 comes, and his plans have changed. And the plans change. He needs the cow for another month. So the truth is that there was a part that he wasn't fully resolved to sell it, because he was only really resolved to sell it on condition, because he was the whole thinking that such and such would happen to him.
Change.
So there was a change that happened, and therefore, was he really resolved to sell under these conditions that he's going to be forced to sell under if we say this is a Kenyan?
Have it in 30, you're
going to find 30
days
to buy
and I make my
LEF.
I know.
Maybe other conditions that he would have predicted. Okay.